Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, welcome inside. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, Bob Pompiani, Paul Alexander hanging on with me for the first segment of the show, and it's rare that we get a chance to do something
together.
We've done so much together.
Except this.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we have a chance to do it because there's a lot to get into. But before I do that, Paul, let me tell you what I need to tell you, which is our show is brought to you by the good people of PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865, and by number one Cochran. Go one better, ride in style with number one Cochran. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Key in Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. So, we just got done doing a TV show, BetMGM Steelers kickoff. A lot to get into. Charlie Batch, Rich Walsh, Jerry Dulac, and myself kicked it all around, and I know you've been doing that here. But, you know, this is one of those games. It's not a must win, but for the Steelers, who have looked bad in three straight games here, they need to get something going here if they're going to make some sort of run here in the playoffs. I don't know that I would expect that, regardless of the opposition, although Houston is a better pathway to that sort of success. But it starts here tonight. Cincinnati has a lot to play for. And I know they want to win this game and put some pressure tomorrow because they won't know anything until tomorrow. So how important is it in your eyes for the Steelers to do it?
Well, I think they, one, have to demonstrate that they can be a legitimate contending NFL team. And right now, the way the Bengals are playing, even though they still stink defensively, Burrow, when you go eight straight games with at least 250 yards and three touchdowns, you have to stop that trend. I mean, especially if you're a defensive team, which that's fraudulent in its own self. I mean, they've been outscored 90 to 40 the last 3 weeks. 90 points in 3 games.
And we knew going into this season, those 3 games would be kind of a defining moment. And the other teams that had the same exact schedule went 3-0. They went 0-3.
Yeah.
So.
But there should be no passes given for what the Steelers have been doing. And these 2 games coming up, there's a playoff game regardless. As far as the final grade on Tomlin and the decision on Russell Wilson, whether he stays or goes, they happen over these next 2 games. Period. They're going to define everything. So everyone that wants to know what to do right now, nothing. Because Mike Tomlin can make a pretty good acquittal of himself with a win tonight and then a win in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, that would be after the first playoff win in 8 years, everyone has to kind of back off a little bit and say, hey, that's a good year. You know, you get 12 wins and you win a playoff game, I'm off. I mean, I'm on the Mike Tomlin train. I'll get on that moving train, the Mike Tomlin train. If he goes 0-2 here, I'm way off the train.
Well, yeah, if they go 0-2, that'll just extend what has been. You know, we talk about streaks, and even though never having a losing record is a nice streak, never winning a playoff game in a span of 8 years is also a streak, and it has to end at some point. And for that to happen, I think most best chances, at least, are to win here tonight, go to Houston, beat that team, which is not a good team, take advantage of a terrible division they're in. And, yeah, they got ripped up last year. I went back and looked at that game that C.J. Stroud had.
Out-coached.
They were. DeMeco Ryans did a very good job.
First year as a head coach.
And it wasn't even close in that game. So I still have my trepidations about no matter where they play. The best case scenario, I think, even though I don't necessarily agree with this down deep, is a home game against the Chargers. But if you remember the first game against the Chargers, it was Justin Herbert who got hurt in that game. I still think they're a dangerous opponent. But at home, I think if you can get a home game and win a home game, now everything at least will put off the
back burner. You have a lot of things in your favor. You got a warm weather dome team and hopefully what would be a very cold scenario. And traveling west to east has never done well. You look at the overall record of NFL teams that travel west to east, not good. They lose. So, yeah, I like that scenario. I like that a lot. Herbert, however, if this defense doesn't show marked improvement, he could carve.
Oh, there's no question he can carve. He's carved a lot of good teams.
Yes,
and he's capable
of,
especially where this team is letting off guys run all over the place. And that's one of the things that has to change. You know, you looked at this, and going back to the Philly game, we saw – you know, or not the Philly game, the Ravens game. Andrews and Likely both get open pretty easily. In fact, the one Likely touchdown was as wide open as they can get. And then Travis Kelce, you know what he's capable of doing. So I asked you this about Joe Burrow because I have the utmost respect. I would actually make a case for his MVP status.
Yes.
I mean, there's some four really good choices. And if Saquon Barkley doesn't win it this year, no running back will ever win it again. But as far as Joe Burrow, I don't know what the best way is to defend him. I've seen him against the blitz, how he can maneuver, create, and dish down the field. I've also seen him pick people apart if you just sit back. I'm not sure what the best way, but I do know this. You have to do something that he doesn't expect.
He's not overly mobile, so I think you need to rush up the middle because he makes a lot of his best throws when he steps up in the pocket. And the Steelers are famous for edge
rushers.
But he
can step beside it, too.
He does.
He doesn't run, but he slides.
He's almost, Dan Marino in his prime, he never ran away from anybody.
Right.
But, boy, his movement in the pocket and his quick release, that's all he needed. He didn't have that. Same with Burrow. Burrow doesn't have to run anywhere. He has to set himself and move in the pocket and anticipate where the rush is. Feel the rush. That's something that – and everyone wants to talk about Justin Fields. All the things that Joe Burrow does that makes him great, Justin Fields possesses none of. Feeling the rush, moving in the pocket, stepping up and throwing, eluding this, moving left, moving right, you know, moving people, you know, throwing the ball to areas where only his guy can get it. That's what Joe Burrow does routinely. And it's so foreign to a guy that's not a naturally born, gifted quarterback. And that's why, guess what? Justin Fields is twice the athlete of Joe Burrow. Not in arm strength or arm quality, but the way he runs, it's not even close. But who's the better quarterback?
Well, there's no question about that. But I do have a question about quarterbacks since we're talking beyond this season, too. The Steelers have been chasing this situation ever since Roethlisberger retired, and they've gone through a number of people. So they bring in Russell Wilson. I think the plan was that they wanted him to be the guy moving forward. And so far, I think a lot of people would be fine with that, depending on the money. The money is always going to be interesting to see where it goes.
I heard 30.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Well, I mean, 2 years. I'd go two years and 30.
Well, I think he may want three.
Correct.
Now, if you're going to do that, then you know at some point you're going to keep chasing this quarterback situation because he's at the end of the road, all due respect to his career, which has been terrific. But at some point that's going to change, and you're going to be back in square one. You got to figure this quarterback thing out somewhere. I mean, legitimately, which brings out all these different possibilities. So we'll throw those around since we're here BSing. And one of them is J.J. McCarthy. I've seen, and I also saw who was it? Pro Football Talk. Mention Aaron Rodgers. Now, I'm not going to go in Aaron Rodgers. I mean, come on. Really? That can't be a possibility. I wouldn't want it to be a possibility, given everything that I've seen. But what about a J.J. McCarthy? Let's say Sam Darnold, or for that matter, Sam Darnold. Let's say he's available. And
I don't,
a lot of people
I don't think
will,
he's going to be available.
Well, first of all, I also think – I don't either. But what does that do for J.J. McCarthy then? And do you believe that he's the kind of quarterback who can make – a legitimate case for being a franchise in the NFL?
I don't think anyone's seen him enough at the NFL level to know who he's going to be. He has great potential. Potential means one thing, hasn't done it yet. That's all that term really means.
All these quarterbacks have potential coming out of college.
Exactly. And I liked him in college. I think he's a really good player. He's kind of Joe Burrow light. I mean, you know, he's kind of not a runner, but he has good pocket presence, has a good arm, good release. I'd kick the tires if it was for a very low price. I'm not spending a lot of money on J.J. McCarthy. He's done nothing.
No, I agree with that. But that also can help you make your next move.
Correct.
Which with a quarterback who's not making a lot of money, you can still go out and do things. But I find it interesting. Darnold has been resurrected, and I think he's in a great system with two outstanding wide receivers and a head coach who knows how to systematically create opportunities for him. And he stepped up. He's never. I don't think you ever question his talent.
No.
It's just maybe sort of similar to Justin Fields. A lot of different people getting in his head, seeing ghosts, doing things he shouldn't be doing. I don't know. I think that's going to be an interesting thing. If they don't sign Russell Wilson, I still believe the plan is too. If they don't, though, it leaves open a myriad of possibilities.
And the one thing that they will refuse to do is start over. They're not going to start over at quarterback. They're going
to
try
they're
and get someone.
Similar to the Penguins in that regard.
Correct.
Trying to walk this line.
And that's and think about it. They're on the same path, you know. But unlike the Penguins, who still have Sid and Chris and Geno, the Steelers, when they were doing it with Ben, it made sense to me. You know, kicking it down the road because maybe there's going to be that one miracle season where Ben finds it for one more time. That didn't happen. And now they've been a myriad of mediocrity, and it's just not going to get better until they do kind of. TJ and Cam aren't going to win Super Bowls. I would love them to. I think they deserve to. I think they've been great Pittsburgh Steelers. It ain't going to happen. I'm sorry.
Well, not unless things change dramatically with this, you know, the offense. You got to score a lot more points. Their defense, though, has been a problem. They got a lot of issues to work out, and we'll see what happens tonight. 412-928-9370. I, like you, Paul, like to go to the phone lines a lot because we have people calling us, so why let them wait?
And we love the fans.
Yes, let's go to Steele on the War Streets. Steele, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you today?
Good. What's
awesome.
Up?
You know, I'm hearing a lot of Tomlin criticisms, of course, and, I mean, you could always say, you know, it always comes down to the QB anyways. You know, if you put Tomlin at the head of the Chiefs, there's a good chance he can, you know, he could have won a Super Bowl in the last couple of years. But you know, we have to really look at the Steelers and say, hey, what's been happening with the Steelers since Dan Rooney, passed away? I mean, Art Rooney II has been a failure as the owner of the Steelers. I don't think he's overseen a playoff win. And we're going on a better part of the decade. And do we really trust him to not only fire Tomlin, but we're going to trust him to know how to hire a head coach? I mean, Dan Rooney, you know, is the one that hired Chuck Knoll and Bill Cowher and Mike Tomlin. That was Dan Rooney. Okay, he's gone.
Well, before you classify everything as a failure, let me tell you this. I think Art is very much dedicated to winning. Now, there are going to be times when you have to make tougher choices, and I think, to be honest with you, if Dan were still alive, I think he may have been moved on from some people.
Correct.
I don't know if Art is hesitant to do that or not, but I have a great deal of respect for what he's done as an ownership person, someone in, you know, and listen, you can say what you want.
Why do you have respect for him and people aren't having respect for Tomlin? I mean,
I think a lot of people have respect for Tomlin. I think, though, it comes to time where, just like a lot of people who are head coaches, you got to put up results in the games that matter to most. And Art Rooney said so this past offseason. It's about now. It's about winning playoff games. And I think he's legit about that. Yet they still extended Mike, you know. And
exactly.
I have my biggest criticism of Mike, I would be, and thanks, Steele, for the call, Paul, would be just his assistant coaches. I think there are always guys out there who can help you. You have to be a delegator more than anything. And I think Mike Tomlin prides himself on being involved in a lot of this stuff, which is fine. But if it's not working, you need to find yourself some really good head coaches or assistant coaches who can help you as a head coach.
And the irony is, what everyone absolutely loved was Mike's youth, exuberance, and fresh. He was so fresh as a head coach. Youngest head coach in the NFL ever at that time. Now, everything that Mike's doing is really tired and old. I mean, that's the way it goes. I mean, all his
life expectancy of head coaches in any sport's not very good.
Jimmy Johnson's in the Hall of Fame. You know how long his career was? 9 years.
Yeah, not
9
surprising.
Years. And everything, oh, what a great head coach. Yeah, that's about how long it lasts. And now you have Mike McCarthy. I'm like, he's so tired. He's so old. He has the same resume as Mike Tomlin, but everyone views him so differently. He hasn't done any work. He's done better than Mike Tomlin over the last 5 years.
Sean Payton's same. Those three together are very similar in what they do.
Correct.
Which also means they get a lot of respect.
But there's been movement. They haven't been at the same place.
No, I get it.
People moved away from them.
Right.
And they had success. You got to move away from things that aren't working.
You got to win playoff games.
100%.
It's as simple as that. And they know that here. They got to win playoff games. You can't just keep spiraling this. And the best case you can make to stop people from criticizing you is to win these games.
It's that simple.
And they can. But the problem with them, as I see it, is that they, you know, slow starts. I keep talking about this, and it drives me nuts because it happens more than it should. Almost every single game this year.
That's coaching.
Their offense, right. If you're an offense, your best 15 first plays should come in the first possession you have.
100%.
That's when we should see whatever advanced coaching
you did. What do they never do?
Well,
score
a
touchdown in the first drive.
And
ever.
Here's the other thing. Their defensive numbers are just as bad in the first quarter of games.
In the NFL.
And I'm not sure why. I don't know. Do you have an explanation for that? I'm not sure. But bottom line is,
they're
if
not
your
ready
offense,
to play.
They're just not. And it cannot happen. And it's happened in playoff games where they've fallen behind and had to dig out. So that's got to change. Let's go to JV in the Penn Hills area. JV joins us now. Bob Pompiani, Paul Alexander at your service, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. On the Steelers MVP, I know 90, you know, I love him. You know, I wouldn't give him up for anything. But Boswell was the money today and this year. I mean, his kicking was absolutely stupendous. I mean, 50-yarders were gimmies for him. And my other comment, go Penn State. I mean, I'm not exactly thrilled with their season and their conservativeness. They represent some of the Steelers' inepts in the first half. But I think they got an excellent chance.
Oh, I do, too. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised, JV, thanks for the call, if they win the whole thing. I think they're capable of beating Notre Dame, and then they know Ohio State better than anyone. I expect Ohio State to win. Give them a lot of credit, too, how they've bounced back against two really good teams in Tennessee and then last week against Oregon. They made that look easy.
That was scary to me. I thought Oregon was going to beat Ohio State.
I didn't. I really liked Ohio State.
I liked Oregon, and I couldn't have been more wrong.
I mean, there's a lot to like on their team, except that Ohio State, I think, has better.
I want 15 from Oregon on the Steelers next year.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's possible based on how this is all going to play out.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
But as far as Penn State, I think they're playing, and I love the tandem, Catron Allen along with Singleton. Those two dynamically, they were real good. They did a good job shutting down Genty, which I thought might be a problem. It wasn't. And the other thing is, Drew Aller doesn't have to be a hero back there. Mm-hmm. In that game that we saw the last week, I thought, against Boise State, shows you what he can do. Give me a run game that's good. I can go down the field occasionally and make big plays when I have to.
His, what do we call it now? We used to say he's a great arm. What do you call it? Arms. How do they term it now? His arm talent.
Arm talent?
Yeah, his
arm strength.
No, we call it arm talent now.
Okay.
You got to stay up the terminology. I try to.
It's all metrically motivated.
His arm talent is stupid. It's so good. I mean, the way he dropped those first two touchdown passes into
The read was unbelievable.
Perfect throws. Just perfect throws.
Back of the end zone, down the field like
perfect.
That.
Perfect.
But the one thing I did see in that game, and you tell me what you saw, but they knew. Their secondary wasn't very good.
Right.
The only way you can do it is get into his grills. They blitzed an awful lot.
Can.
I don't know what it – if I'm another team looking at that, I may decide to do the same thing, especially if I have better guys in the defensive backfield.
And you look at what Notre Dame does with the run game. I mean, it's going to be a great matchup. It really is, because Penn State shut down the best running back in the country. I mean, they shut him down.
He still got over 100, but it's misleading because he had 30-some carries. And it was 1 yard, 3 yards, 4 yards, maybe one run he had over 10 yards, whatever the case may be. But do you see them beating Notre Dame?
I do, too. Because every time, and I remember the first time I was at Notre Dame, you remember the great Darren Perry?
Oh, yeah.
He had a game-clinching interception to knock off then number one ranked Notre Dame. That was so much fun. And then Al Golden, the D coordinator of the Irish right now, had the game-winning touchdown in another big win for Penn State over Notre Dame. The times that Notre Dame was number one in cruising, Penn State knocked them off. I feel good about it.
I do. I think that's a great matchup. It'll be on Thursday. And since you're here, it's funny. I was asking about you and I have a lot in common when it comes to golf. I was so happy you have the Century here, even though it's on yesterday's round because they haven't started here yet.
It's okay.
But what a great place Kapalua is. It's one of the best golf places to go in terms of vistas and views and everything. It's not the best golf course. It's a great golf course.
It's a great golf course.
But they got... The views are incredible. And
insane.
If you haven't made a trip there and if you can afford it and have a bucket list opportunity, right? Yeah.
Maui's unbelievable.
Yeah. So.
And that 17th and 18th, the finish, insane.
Especially straight downhill, looking at the ocean with all that beautiful surroundings.
maybe some whales in the background, you know, doing their thing.
Have you ever seen a whale in person?
I have. We took in Maui, that same trip that I played the plantation course, we went to what's the little sunken,
Lahaina,
the sunken volcano.
Oh,
Lahaina or something.
Well, Lahaina was the thing that got burned up with that
stupid. Yeah, they just lost the whole city's gone.
Yeah, terrible. One of the most beautiful, quaint places you'll ever spend time.
So we had choices. They had all activities. And you could either go on a whale watch or go snorkeling in Lahaina or whatever the little sunken, you know, the sunken volcano is. Really cool. We chose that. And it turns out on our way there, three whales breach right in front of us.
Oh.
And we had, you know, buddies, you know, you make friends on these trips. And the people that took the whale watch, over. I felt terrible. So I said to, you know, I said, let's not tell anyone. I mean, we don't want to make them feel bad.
No, but it's interesting to see.
It may be the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well.
Wow.
I'd be scared a little bit, to be honest with you. I don't want any whales nearby.
Unbelievable. I mean, imagine an elephant leaping like 12 feet in the air and then landing softly on a mat.
Nope.
That's what whales do.
I know they do. It'd be spectacular to see, but something
so
I wouldn't
I
want
to
be
to
around.
Paul, that was a blast. Enjoy the rest of your show and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
It's always a pleasure, and hopefully
best.
We'll do some golf here coming up in this.
Sooner the
we
better.
We say it every year. It doesn't happen very often, and I don't know why. But I know why, because there's
busy.
Too many things, kids, grandkids, whatever the case may be. But anyway, it was fun.
A blast. Thank you.
Hope maybe we can do it again sometime.
We will.
All right. Thanks, man. Have
See
a good rest of your afternoon.
I'm not as nuts
I know
as
your
Joe.
Son. Is your son going to go to the next game?
He's not
he
sure
was
yet.
I heard
he's
you
not
say,
sure. He was at the Fiesta Bowl.
And he loved it.
And he's going to go. If Penn State makes it to Atlanta, he's going there no matter what, whether he gets to cheer or not.
Yeah.
He's a senior. This is it.
This is it. You got to do what you got to do.
And he loved the Fiesta
Bowl. I wish, looking back, that I would have done more of what I wanted to do. But again, the price and the, you know, all that stuff factors in,
too. It ain't easy. I was lucky that I got to do all that because I was writing for the student paper.
Right.
I got to cover all of it.
That's pretty awesome.
That was cool.
All right, Paul Alexander,
all right, Paul.
Appreciate it. Happy New Year to you, and Happy New Year to the callers here at 412-928-9370. I failed to mention Joel Nelson, even though he gave a hey, Bob, at the beginning, is behind the glass, and I will forever hold you responsible for that. Call us. Let us know what you think until 3 o'clock, and then we have another pregame show, don't we? What's coming up at 3 o'clock? Oh, we got something else, I think, don't we?
Yeah, pregame from Rivers.
It's from the Rivers
Jason
Casino,
Mackey,
yeah. Jason Mackey, Mark Cabali, and Donnie football all coming up. So we got a whole afternoon of this stuff as the Steelers get set to take on the Bengals. We'll be back with more of your calls right here, 412-928-9370. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, we're back with more. Thanks to Paul Alexander for hanging over and overlapping into this program today. Coming up at 3 from the Rivers Casino, Donnie Football, along with Jason Mackey and Mark Cabali. Don't forget about the number one Cochran Sports Showdown. We're on tomorrow night at 11:35 on KDKA-TV. We always wrap up the week and a lot of interesting topics, no doubt about it. On the program tomorrow will be Ray Fittipaldo, Mike DeCourcy, and Jason Mackey. So that's tomorrow at 11:35 KDKA. In the meantime.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
We have a lot to talk about here at 412-928-9370. You can also hit me up on Twitter. It's at KDPomp. About this game tonight. And I want to talk a little bit real quick before I go to the lines here about Joe Burrow and what this season has been like for him. They were 3-8 at one point. They were given a very little percentage for, you know, to being in this position, but here they are with 42 touchdowns and just 8 interceptions. He's number one in just about every category. And this includes, you know, what you see from Lamar Jackson and, you know, Allen in Buffalo and who else, anyone else, even Mahomes. I found it interesting that Patrick Mahomes did not make the Pro Bowl, though. And, yeah, I know why. Because, you know, Allen, Jackson, Burrow, they're all having an unbelievable season statistically. But if you really want to look at a guy who, and he'll use this as motivation in the playoffs when they play at Arrowhead Stadium, there's no question about that. They're 15-1. And while his numbers aren't as good as these other guys, look at what he does in crunch time of fourth quarters of close games. They've played a ton of close games this year. And they've been able to win games because of him. Now, this is a statistical thing more than anything else, but man, Patrick Mahomes not making a Pro Bowl team on a season where they went 15-1, and he is responsible for as many fourth quarter wins as he was. That's crazy to me, but that's just the way it is. It also opens up the conversation about MVP of the NFL. And quite frankly, Saquon Barkley should be getting much more support. And if he doesn't win, which I doubt he will, then you can say never again will a running back win this award. Never again. It's just not going to happen because you can't have a better season than he's having. He's within striking distance. I was hope because we have the game tomorrow between Baltimore and the Giants on at 1 o'clock KDKA. I was hoping he'd have a chance to go against his former team and get that record at their expense, but that's not going to happen. Back to the phone lines we go at 412-928-9370. Mike in Fort Wayne, Indiana is on the air right now. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Bob. How you doing, man?
Doing good. What's up?
Oh, I just wanted to talk about slow starts, and I'm just pointing out what everybody sees here. I don't, to me, right behind George Pickens, I think our second most lethal offensive weapon is Warren. So I guess I just don't understand why Najee Harris, this has been 2 years in the making. We've been talking about why is Jaylen Warren not starting out in the backfield to begin the game. Maybe the reason why the slow starts is because we have a running back. I hate to say it, half the time it seems like he has a hard time getting back to the line of scrimmage in there.
Yeah, he's just a different type of runner. I don't know if that contributes to it. It's part of the problem. When you want to establish a run-first mentality and be a physical run team, if you don't have success on first and second down, you're oftentimes looking at a three and out. And when that happens, it changes a lot of dynamics.
I just questioned that, you know, I feel like we're treating him like he's Earl Campbell.
No, they're not because they didn't pick up his fifth-year option, Mike. I think he won't be around next year, most likely. And I give him a lot of credit for this, though. He knew that going in, and he has not, cheated them in any way. He plays hard. He runs hard. He runs angry. I think, to your point, Jaylen Warren has gotten more snaps over the last four games for a reason. He is
right.
Now, my question to him long-term is, can he handle 17 games as a feature running back, as the number one
count,
the bell
count?
I don't know either. They're going to have to redraft that position for sure.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. But I guess it's just, I think the one statistic, I think during the Philadelphia game, I don't know if you remember this, but they showed a statistic where I think the Steelers were number two in the league in carries, okay, but number 29th in total yards. I'm like, as far as running yards. And I was like, man, if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know, that it's, quite frankly, it's not working what we're doing right now.
Yeah, no question. And it has to be better. The one thing I fear tonight is that they're going to get into the mindset of, you know, because it's cold, run the football, all that stuff. And maybe they can be successful with that. But if it doesn't go well, and Cincinnati, which has been better over the last several games and defensively as well as taking the ball away, you know, then you're going to play into Cincinnati's hands, I think. I still think their defense is bad enough where they should be able to do what they did in the first game, which is they should be able to throw the ball down the field against this defense. And
yeah,
I wouldn't go away for that
for
just
win,
because it's a cold game.
Sure.
The wind may change, and that may be different, but...
Can I make one more point?
Sure.
Everybody keeps talking about how we really would rather go to Houston. We'd really rather do this. And I just want to point out is I felt pretty good when Cleveland was coming to town in the playoffs, and I felt really good when Jacksonville was coming down. So.
You can feel good about all of them, and it didn't work out that way.
No.
I think you understand the context of it, though, Mike, right? Because they're not as good of a team right now, and you don't want to play Baltimore. I'm sorry. People out there who think, okay, the Steelers have their way with Baltimore, they have. But this is now a different kind of Baltimore setup with Derrick Henry back there, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing is for sure probably is that everybody wants to play Pittsburgh.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if Baltimore wants to play Pittsburgh, to be honest with you. Thanks for the call, Mike, in Fort
all
Wayne.
Right, man.
We appreciate it. Baltimore may not want to have with that at all because of how the Steelers have defended them. So, yeah, I would disagree there. I think Baltimore doesn't want the Steelers, even though I think they're the better team right now. Ryan in New Jersey is on the air right now. Hey, Ryan, what's up?
Hey, Bob. Not a bad effort by the old Penguinos last night. Unfortunate they didn't get, you know, the extra point, but I'll take that. Please don't show up in Carolina tomorrow and get destroyed like every other time.
Carolina's been struggling, though, you know. They're not the same as they were last year.
Not against the Penguins. Jeez.
Yeah, no, they've owned me right.
Bob, not a fan of the whale watching, are you, huh?
I like whale watching from a distance. Don't get me wrong. I think it's interesting. Okay. Just like I like lava flows from a distance. I don't want to be next to them.
Okay, well, here's a good one. The last one we went on was in Victoria, British Columbia, so near Vancouver last summer. And my son and I went on one, and it was like a high-speed boat. They go fast, and then you have to stop to give them distance by law. So we saw a bunch of different things, but on the way back into the harbor, there was a pod of 8 killer whales literally like 50 feet away breaching. So that might have given you a little bit of agita, trust me. But anyway, I'm actually calling about my nits. I never, ever, ever predict them to win a game, certainly not a big game ever. But from where I'm sitting, and I know I'm going to be wrong about this, but here's the thing. All those top 5 recruiting classes that Franklin's got, this is where it should matter, because they should be a more talented roster than Notre Dame. Notre Dame is not big up front on the lines. Penn State, when they lose to Ohio State and Michigan, they get ground down on the offensive and defensive lines. So this is where, and the caveat is, as long as the coaching staff and Drew Aller, who doesn't seem like the most mentally with it quarterback I've ever seen, as long as they don't lose it, I think they're going to get to the finals, and then they'll get their faces ripped off by Ohio State.
See, I'm not convinced of that, Ryan. I'm not. I think they know Ohio State. They should have beaten them this year, to me. I don't think they're the better team, but I think they know how to play them.
Yeah, but they tighten up every time. That's the problem.
Yeah, but they would have a different – this would be a different mental setup. This is you're the underdog, and people don't expect you to be here. They could utilize that for their advantage and maybe get this whole monkey off their back with the monkeys turning into a gorilla now. It's so big because they haven't beaten any of these teams. They need to do it, and maybe this is the way for it to happen.
Well, Notre Dame's big advantage is their coaching staff is incredibly good. So they could certainly game plan and scheme to get around Franklin, perhaps. But really, Penn State should have a pretty good chance of mauling them for the majority of the game and win a close one. As far as if they show up in Atlanta and they play Ohio State, let's assume Ohio State's going to get through because they're obviously the best team right now. They would need to let it fly. That's what Penn State, since the old man, will never do. They will never just go in there, let it rip, and say, hey, if we're going to lose, but let's throw everything at them and see what happens. They just never do it, and I think that's their Achilles heel. But, man, if he could win these two games, he would basically sneak a national title, which is insane because of the way the bracket's set up, because they're going to change it. It's not going to happen again this way.
No, it won't, just because of what you saw.
Fire your shot right now. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
All right, Ryan, thank you. I don't know what they do with conference championship games then. If they don't matter, then they're gonna have to get rid of them. But that's such a big money making thing that you can't afford to do that if you're these bowls and you know, college football in general. The money they make from championship games are interesting. I don't know, they're gonna have to redo it though. You can't have teams get first round buys who aren't worthy of them, and sorry, Boise State and Arizona State were not worthy of them. All due respect for what they did. Let's go out to Sacramento, California. We have Nick in Sacramento. What's up, Nick? How you doing?
Hey, Bob. And if you know your partner Paul is still there, I call you guys a lot. And when I hear people call, and I'm not trying to make this about the caller. Okay, I just want to just get a real quick off and go into my call. Don't blame the Roonies. I'm sorry. This team, the last 3 weeks, this blame has so many different elements. I mean, the arm tackling, the not finishing of plays, the lack of discipline on and off the field, the way players are acting. Want to particularly know who that is. I don't want to waste a call on that either. This team has to go play like they did a year and a half ago. I know a year and a half makes a big difference, but you have some of the same defensive players out there. When they sacked Joe Burrow, what was it, 7 times that one game? Mm-hmm. I hope they watched that film, how to attack Burrow. Do you remember that game when we went in there?
Sure. They've had their way with Cincinnati largely, yes. But
exactly. So, I mean, all these things about, oh, we're going to give them a pass and this and that, and all these different scenarios, and all, you know, bring in the weather. The Steelers got to put up or shut up. I mean, I'm being blunt about it. I've been a fan all my life, like everybody else. But, I'll leave it at that. And I guess the biggest thing I'm really curious of what's going to happen. We keep talking about the playoffs. Okay, great. I have friends out here that are big time Charger fans. And last night, they know what they're saying to me? They're saying, hey, I hope you guys lose so we don't have to play Baltimore. Everyone is scared of Baltimore. I welcome Baltimore because we play. I mean, it is what it is, right? But do I want to go to Baltimore? No. I don't know. I just hope that the Steelers play today. I hope they come out and show that resilience. The key word is resiliency. Can they snap out of this funk they're in? And Gosh, yeah. I mean, what is this whole? Well, I'm sorry, Bob. Go ahead.
I was just saying, thanks, Nick, because I'm up against a break. One final thing. What did you want to say? Well, sorry about that. But I do appreciate the call, Nick, and I agree with what you're saying, too. It's time to put up or shut up when it comes to that. More than anything, they need a good effort tonight just to carry that and give them something positive to go into next week. And then we'll find out what day they play next week, which is always interesting to find out. But, yeah, as much as I know the Steelers have had success against Baltimore, I don't want that matchup. Number one, because it's down there. Number two, because I think they're playing at a level right now that Lamar Jackson, you can make a really good case that he should be a third-time MVP, even more so than Josh Allen. I don't think he will win it. I think Josh Allen will, but there's a case to be made. We have Rob, Dave, Jerry, and Steve on the line. We'll take a break, come back with your calls and more up until 3 o'clock right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. Joel Nelson behind the glass, taking your calls here at 412-928-9370. Bob Pompeiani with you until 3 o'clock, and that's when we send it over to the Rivers Casino. Donnie Football, along with Jason Mackey and Mark Caboli, with their pregame thoughts about this big game coming up. And it's big because the Steelers want to get things right and move on, and you never know. First game is coming up at 4:30. I do know this. I can't expect Cleveland to win at all. It's up to a 20-point spread now, Joel. And they have Bailey Zappe. Now, I remember Bailey Zappe here last year, what he did, and he came to Pittsburgh on a Thursday night, and they won. And I think it was Hunter Henry who had a hat trick for Hunter Henry of touchdown passes in that game. But my goodness, Cleveland has every reason to lose. I think they're in a prime position to get a top five draft pick, maybe three overall. They don't want to win, and unless, you know, you're trying to just really disrupt Baltimore, but I don't think they can do it, you know? It's just, I've never seen a point spread this big featured on a Saturday primetime game.
Me neither, Bob. It's it tells you the state of the Browns, and it tells you the state of the Ravens right now.
There's no question about that. By the way, the state of our show is, it's brought to you by PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. Also by Number One Cochran, where you always get a great ride. Ride in style at Number One Cochran. Real quick before I go back to the lines, the game of the weekend, of course, is for the number one seed in the NFC. You've got two of the best, Minnesota at 14-2, Detroit 14-2. Detroit's been beset with all sorts of injuries. They could use the number one seed more so than Minnesota, but, you know, two quarterbacks that haven't gotten enough attention, Jared Goff and Sam Darnold. Another guy is Baker Mayfield, 39 touchdown passes. I thought he was going to be a Pro Bowler in the NFC, was not. He, like Mahomes, didn't get that nod. Darnold is a guy you can actually make a case, even though most people won't, for MVP of the league based on the numbers he's put up. But he's had a great system in Kevin O'Connell, who I think should be the NFL Coach of the Year this year, with two great wide receivers. And he's going to command some money. He's going to be out there if they don't sign him because they have J.J. McCarthy. A lot of great sub stories in the NFL coming up in this offseason. Back to the lines we go, and we have Dave in Rankin joins us first right now. What's up, Dave? How are you?
Hey, Bob, how you been? Happy New Year. It's been a while.
You too. Thank you.
I heard you and Paul talking earlier, and Paul and I are on the same page. And the previous caller said, don't blame the Rooneys. Well, I blame the Rooneys because Tomlin stole the head coach. You know, last year, and, tonight's a big game and all, but last year, Mason Rudolph didn't pull those three games out of his you-know-what. I think Tomlin might have been on the chopping block. But here we are. Now we got another three-year extension. I think he's proven that he's limited in what he can do, especially when it comes to playing elite teams. But honestly, I will consider it progress. I think they had a great start against not a real tough schedule. The tough schedule has been lately. But I think that if he wins a game in the playoffs, I'll give him kudos, and I think he should hang around for at least another year. What do you think?
Well, I think the pressure's on to win it. Yeah, no question. Thanks, Dave, for the call. But I don't think there's going to be a move one way or the other. I think Art Rooney is very much in his corner on this and believes in the stability process they have. It comes down to winning postseason games. Simple as that. Their regular seasons, you can make whatever you want of them. And I know people get tired of talking about that streak, but it's nationally looked at as one of the more unique things you've ever seen, but the corresponding streak is lack of wins in the postseason. They can take care of that this year. And again, by winning, you set up Houston. I think that's a better matchup for me. I would take it, even though Houston beat them down in Houston last year. Listen, you know, it's a combination of a lot of things. Poor starts, which are a reflection of coaching. No question about that. They got to come out, and their offense should have their best game plan going into a first quarter of a game. That's when you should see different things, and based on what your research shows you about the other team's defense. And I think sometimes they get too enamored with trying to force that run game. And tonight would be a perfect case where I think they may try to do that again. And if it's successful, fine. You know, you will keep Joe Burrow off the field. But if it's not, you're going to give him opportunities. I think sometimes I still look at the matchup this way as saying that Pittsburgh can have success down the field against Cincinnati's secondary, and I would not go away from that. I think that's a big thing. Now, George Pickens has got to have a big game. George Pickens has got to mature himself a lot in some of these things that he hasn't been able to handle with. But Pat Freiermuth should be targeted at least 10 times tonight. He had big success the last time they played. To me, it would not be a good coaching look if he doesn't get 10 targets in that range because he's that important to them. Jerry is in Ford City, and he's now on the Fan. What's up, Jerry? How are you? Hello, Jerry. Are you there? Well, you're on, but I don't hear you, Jerry. You may have your phone on mute or something. So I'll give you one last chance. Jerry, answer the phone, or we're moving on. All right, Jerry. Don't hear you. So we'll go to Steve. Steve in San Diego. What's up, Steve? How are you?
Hey, how's it going, Bob?
Good. What's up?
Not too much, man. I'm just chilling out here in San Diego. It's sunny and beautiful. But, yeah, no, watching the Steelers, I just see that there needs to be a more defense presence than there is an offense presence and so forth.
What do you mean by that? I mean, they haven't played well these three games. They've given up 8 touchdown passes and 3 straight losses. I get that. But what specifically are you talking about?
There needs to be more of an inside rush and get to the quarterback and so forth and whatnot.
All right, Steve.
I'm sorry, Bob.
That's okay. I get your point, and thanks for the call. I think pressure up the middle is always a good thing. You force a quarterback to then vacate his pocket area, which for Joe Burrow has been his main weapon of operation. He loves to stay in there if he can. He will slightly maneuver to step up into the pocket and create throws down the field. He's very good at that, too. You know, I think the best way is to confuse him. You can confuse all quarterbacks. I don't care how good they are. There's a way to do it. He has to see things or not, you know, see things that he hasn't seen all season long. Do something exotically once in a while. And this brings us to Minka Fitzpatrick, who is a pro bowler this year. And I heard Minka's comments after he got selected, and he was almost saying, well, I'm a little surprised by this because he didn't have the kind of statistical year. He got it from reputation. I think that's a fair assessment. And he's been asked to do something different. This would be the kind of game, though, I'd like to see him, or in the playoffs, do something that we haven't seen all year. He has the skills to do it. He has Polamalu-esque ability, and I would want to put that into work in my favor. So manning center field is one thing, but trying to create plays and turnovers in the last two games, the Steelers have not generated any. You got to do that, and if it takes doing something you haven't done all year, so be it. Rob in O'Hara Township is on the Fan right now. Hello, Rob. How are you?
Good, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It's going to be a big night of celebration here in Pittsburgh. I'm sure you're aware of the historical value of this game. This is going to be Mike Tomlin's last home game coaching. And I'll tell you the reason why I say that. I've been saying for weeks they're going to lose out. This time, at the end of the season, when they're coming off a 5-game losing streak, Art Rooney ain't going to be able to go up to the news conference and put on his best Jimmy Stewart face and tell us it's a wonderful life. I have never seen a coach in all my years set players up for failure the way Mike Tomlin has.
Give me a specific what you're talking about.
Well, here, let's just talk Kenny Pickett. He brings him in the second half. The guy had no first string snaps all week. That's one example. He drafts Najee Harris the 1 year number one. We need a center, and instead of taking a center, we take a non-blocking tight end named Pat Freiermuth, when the center that was available, Creed Humphrey, ends up being all pro his first year.
But you also have, Rob, in this situation, you can make all the arguments like that, and I get it. I mean, they could have taken Lamar Jackson over Terrell Edmonds, but they didn't. You have needs. You have things you need to do. I think Freiermuth, I don't have necessarily a problem with that. because I think he's a very serviceable guy, and I want to see him. You talk about not utilizing guy. I want to see him used him a lot more. As far as Najee Harris, that was a controversial pick from the get-go, just because I don't know that he was going to be that guy who was going to have, you know, the Saquon Barkley kind of impact or the Christian McCaffrey kind of impact. And to me, if you're going to draft a running back, that's what you need. Up against the break, Shane, or Rob, thank you. I got to get to it. But I appreciate what you're saying. I will say this. If they win tonight and win in Houston, a lot of people will change their minds. They have to do it. They have to get a playoff win this year to take pressure off of everyone in the organization. But Mike Tomlin will be back as head coach. I don't think that's going to change. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We're also going to talk a little bit. We should talk about Pitt basketball. And I have a question for you, Joel, if you can research this. Why does Joe Lenardi not have Pitt anywhere in his NCAA tournament field? I think I saw that, and I want to make sure I'm right on that. But double-check it for me in the break, and we'll see, because I think at 11-2, they've shown that they can be one of the better teams in the ACC. They've already had some nice wins, and I think you're going to see another one tonight, even though they're shorthanded against Stanford. So that's all coming up later today here on 93.7 The Fan. We're taking a break. Come back. Joel has a headline. More calls on the way until 3 o'clock at 412-928-9370. Back in a flash.